This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Number one show on ESPN.
Yeah, it's a pretty good view when you're sitting at the top. That's what we're doing. 1 hour down, 2 hours to go. I hate to disappoint you. We can't do a whole weekend show, so therefore we're just going to do 2 more hours and turn it over to the Blitz on a Friday.
What I like is that it's official because they got a voice guy that sounds very official to say it, which means once it's said, it's absolutely true. Absolutely true.
Without question.
And we are getting a lot of love from a lot of communities after saying that we're that you know, some of the folks that are coming out there now, folks are like Craig said, we're big in the oil and gas pipeline industry as well. What up, Craig? El Jefe, you guys are also pretty big in the living room community.
Saw that one, and I said, thanks, Manny.
That's so funny. Ulysses McNeely said, y'all are big in the Black Baptist pastor community as well.
Amen to that.
Amen. Let's raise the offering. Yeah, and then, but I noticed we not one whore community post. Not one.
You bummed out about that?
We're not big in the whore community.
Well, but Nick
I don't
loves
understand
us.
That. In the man whore community.
Yeah, we're exactly. Big in,
but yeah, that's kind of bummed. Clayton Sutherland said years ago, wing night with the brothers at Pluckers, the wings gave me a nosebleed. I was all embarrassed. I go to the restroom to stop the bleeding, open the door to the men's room. There's another dude in there with a nosebleed, so be careful.
Wow, I'm not eating that Pluckers.
I don't know what that they're
it's
putting
a sweet
in
name
that.
For a wing joint. I think it's a good name.
Yeah, can actually, I get the Stranger Things wings and your nose starts bleeding? That's weird.
Come on, man. On the menu somewhere, there's got to be the mother Pluckers, right?
Did you ever see that Jamie Foxx? Did you ever watch the Jamie Foxx show?
Occasionally.
He had one where they had, it was called Fud Pluckers. Anybody, let me get a mother fud plucking Diet Cola. That's what it was called.
Thank
it was
God
really
you said
good.
That right, because that was a challenge right there.
No, it was one of the best episodes of the Jamie Foxx show ever because he just kept ordering different things.
Now, I was going to ask you, did you see he randomly did stand up comedy the other night for the first time in like, what, 10, 15 years, they said?
Yep.
Yeah, just wanted to get back out there?
He was really funny. He has one of my favorite bits of all time where he talks about a drive-by in Africa.
Okay.
And he's like, man, it's a hell over there. They got gangs over there in Africa, too, because he made a trip. He's like, man, they did a drive-by. They pulled up on a scooter. They're like, it was like a blow dart. I was like, oh, Jamie Foxx is a fool. That is a great joke. But I liked it because I didn't know about him until In Living Color. And then he was Wanda on In Living Color. And that's when I became a huge fan. Like, I never liked David Alan Greer for some reason.
Really?
He was kind of annoying to me on the show. But I still, but then he's a stand-up, and he's really funny.
Is David Alan Greer not like he was like Benjamin Button on reverse. He was the older Carlton. He came across in a lot of ways like Carlton from Fresh Prince.
He does kind of have that vibe. You're kind of right. Yeah. But I just, I don't know. He was the only one that I really never got into, but then later on I started to appreciate him more. Let's see, where to go? You guys are big in the soda vendor community. That's good to know.
Okay. You need Diet Coke.
Guys, I love the show. No pun intended.
I knew those were going to start rolling in. Knew it.
That's the best. I love that. See, this is why I love our listeners. They get it right away. That's the perfect text to send to the show. That's so good.
They get it. I started getting dilly-dilly the first day, all night long.
Here's the first. Look, next text in line after that. Dilly-dilly, no pun intended. So here they come. Somebody wants to know, Joel, what bars were the place to be in your single days in Midtown?
In Midtown?
Yeah.
I was going to say, because it bounced around.
Red Door?
There was Red Door early. Early on, Red Door was the place to be. Then it went away for a while. It would kind of die down. Then it was hot again. Pub Fiction was always good. That was always a good spot. Then later on, Celtic Gardens started picking up steam, then they renamed it. But the same guys that own Pub Fiction own Celtic Gardens and whatever it's called now, and then they got smart and they just fenced the whole thing in, and it became like a block party for St. Patrick's Day and other things where inside, outside the entire block, they had like seating and couches.
Nice.
And, yeah, you'd go there from like at 1 o'clock in the afternoon and stumble home.
Nice.
Yeah, there were some good spots.
That my single days were short lived. I went from I got divorced. It was final on St. Patrick's Day, and then I met Nora like 6 months later. So I had like a 6 month window where I just, you know,
way to take some time to find yourself.
Well, you know, when you find the right one, you know.
I agree with that. I was like, I already told you all the story. I said it on the first. We both said it on the first date.
Yeah, that's weird.
And then it happened.
Yeah, well, we didn't get
married the next day, but we just kind of felt like it was. We knew.
Y'all are huge in the farming community. All right, I think that was a shot at me.
Yep,
no pun intended.
Totally directed at Barry.
No pun intended. Y'all are big in the field services, diesel mechanic. All right, now we're getting too into it. We're getting very specific. You guys are really big into the senior accountant that sits in the third cube and
the toilet
floor.
Seat repair community is coming.
What?
Some of the things you've worked on this show. Yeah. But yeah, the toilet seat repair community is going to be huge.
Somebody said we're big in the dad bod community. That's
Chet,
definitely
the Home
Joel.
Depot guy is going to be chiming in for all the things he's helped you with.
EMS community. Look at this, man. Guys, we're blowing up.
Well, we know Granado's got the...
we're big in the bomb community.
The erectile...
We're blowing up. All right. That was too much. No pun intended.
Well, Granado's got the erectile dysfunction covered on his show. We're not big in that community. We're proud of that.
Yeah.
Sperm donation community we should be, though.
We were early on, remember?
Yep.
We've got T-shirts.
Yep.
We upped the donors like quite a bit in 1 week when we started mentioning that.
Yeah. We got a shirt. I still wear it to this day.
Yeah, we randomly started talking about like donating plasma and blood and
right.
We did it. And then people started. Remember, we had guys in the military and everything telling us about how you could donate and make cash.
Yeah, that was one of our. That's one of the first shows I really remember us doing that was like fun. Like
it was
like, oh, okay,
it really was.
And then I still have that shirt that place gave me, and I still wear it sometimes. And every once in a while, some random person will be like, "Are those sperms on your shirt?" Yeah. I'm like, yeah.
That's the one where it's okay if you're like running errands and you're driving in the car the whole time, but if you're waiting in the checkout line at the grocery store and you're like six deep and everyone behind you is like, what the, you know, I'm looking at this shirt again. And then you start getting the, hey, are those what I think they are on your shirt? Well, yeah, they kind of are.
They are. Francisco, I hate you, by the way, but he said we're number one in the parent pickup line community. And he took a picture of him waiting to pick his kids up, but his foot is on the dashboard. Dirty SOB, put your foot down.
Yeah, that's your thing.
You know I hate that. You know that's why he did it. I guarantee you that's why he did it. Jerk face Francisco. That's
and
his
by
nickname.
The way, I don't know if you guys saw this, and I put it on the rundown today, but you want to talk about that where people post – we've talked about this in the past too, where you post pictures too quick and you don't look at your surroundings.
Yeah.
This dude started dating this chick, adults, and evidently it got to the point where they were pretty consistently going out. He wanted to show his mom what she looked like. So he sent a quick pic of her to mom. But then he also put it on Twitter and said, oopsie, I forgot to take down in the background the sex ropes, which were tied around two doorknobs and on each side of the bed with like wrist that's waiting for this wrist. And he's like, oops. My bad. Hope mom didn't recognize that or see that. It's like, what are you doing?
I think I would be more upset if my mom knew what sex ropes were. Then I'd be like, wait a minute, mom.
Yeah,
why
that would
do
be
you
disturbing.
Know that?
That would be really disturbing.
Because it's one thing if your mom's like, why do you have a hammock inside your room? You're like, oh, well, that's a sex swing. But yeah, good question, mom. I don't know. But if your mom's like, why do you have that sex swing? The Swing Master 69. You're like, wait, why do you know the model, mom? That's
creepy.
That
would be really disturbing.
I don't want that.
Even when you think about, like, you don't ever want to think about your parents doing anything like that. But to me, the one blessing was, like, my mom one time was telling me about how close my mom and dad got before my dad passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And so she was like, you know, even in the, you know, in later years, your dad, you know, he even explored, you know, that little blue pill too, because we wanted to keep doing it. I was like, mom, I don't want to hear that now, but thank you for saving it till now when I don't have to really get into the visualization that it could still be happening.
Oh my God, that's the last thing I want my mom to be like. Well, you know, your dad can't get an erection. Mom, Mom! So we got him a pill, and now we're just sexing all the time.
Yeah, no. Like, no.
I don't need to hear that. He's pretty good. He's getting good at it.
I'm thinking, Mom! You know, because I'd come home from living in Oregon or Houston, and I guess I came home from Houston, and I'm sitting there thinking we're going to reminisce about great stories about Dad. She dropped that on me. I was like, come on, let's go get something to eat. I can't do this.
One time I was sore for a week. Mom, please.
Yeah, just
threw his back out. It was bad. I had to walk on it like the Jeffersons intro. It was tough. Like, what? That is too. Oh, no. Is that the chick?
That's the chick, and the sex ropes are tied to the doorknobs and behind the bed. At least the dude admitted it.
Yeah. That's funny.
I want to retweet the picture.
Yeah, you
got to
retweet that.
See that.
At Pac-Man Joel with a K on Twitter. Go follow him and check that out. That's funny.
All right, we're going to be back with a whole lot more just in hour number two of the 3-hour extravaganza. Don't go anywhere. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
To get the latest and best content on where to go, what to do, where to eat, and where to drink, go to culturemap.com.
Go. Houston, man, Texas, that's where the big roaches are. In Texas, right, bro? We like roaches, but like in the ashtray. I mean, those are the good roaches. You don't want, there's a difference. Hey, get the roaches, or hey, the roaches are coming! Because Texas roaches, y'all don't have them out here. And it's cool because you can sleep comfortable. In Texas, bro, it's a little scary, huh? And big old roaches, they will punk you. You can be a grown man scared of a roach. I got cousins in LA. I take on their cholos, and they, you know what I mean? They're tough dudes, but when these roaches start flying, they scare everybody, bro.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Voted number one show on ESPN.
Heck yeah. You know how Raheel and Dell promote the fact that there's the shortest new wait for phone callers and
do they?
All of Houston
Is that what
radio.
They say?
Say it every show all the time.
Good for them.
Shortest wait of any radio show in Houston.
That's
call
badass.
Right now. Get right in.
Do they get a lot of calls?
I don't know.
They should if you don't have to wait.
I noticed that they have some.
That's good.
When they're not interviewing
anybody. Their psychic thing scared me. I was intrigued by that.
Yeah, I was listening too. Yep.
That's pretty good.
Yep.
Want
to mention your boy Juan Villarreal again?
Yeah, Juan Villarreal. That, how true is that? Like, I know for me, when the roaches start flying, my voice inflection changes completely.
More than wasps and bees?
Oh, yeah. Because I think I said this before, but I think it comes from my childhood. It was just me and my mom for the most part growing up. And she wasn't. She didn't teach me to be tough. I had to learn that on my own later. So early on, she was really scared of roaches. So I just did what mom did when we saw a roach, which was scream and run. So that's kind of how I got.
So that's where it came from.
Yeah. So, boy, I tell you what, that roach starts getting some air and you're just like.
You're not alone, though. People that see roaches in general,
they're so
freak
nasty.
Out. But if they fly too, it's over. Lisa's like that too.
But usually, doesn't that mean if it gets to the point where they're flying, you're nasty?
Nope. It's the opposite. It's them baby roaches that are the nasty ones. We've had this discussion before.
We have?
Yeah. I think somebody had to, like an exterminator had to call the show, but I'm pretty sure it's the baby roaches that are those, because the big flying roaches, those are just tree roaches. And you usually, I mean, you're going to get those in Texas no matter what.
Okay.
But they, a lot of times they're coming in when it's hot or dry, like if we're in a drought, because they need water.
So you're saying I got to get rid of the baby roaches in my closet, is what you're saying.
So what I'm saying is, yeah, you're like, well, I got hundreds of these baby roaches, but not them big, you know, them big flying roaches. I'm all right. No, you want the opposite, I believe.
Like, what's
and I'm
worse?
Sure someone will call and correct me. But
what's worse, baby roaches in your closet or in your kitchen?
I would say kitchen.
I
for
think
sure.
so too, as long as they're not in the fridge. But yeah, but in your closet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
How the hell do you get roaches in your closet?
I'm
just joking. He's just running with it.
No, I don't feel like taking these dishes to the sink. I'm just throwing them in there.
Just leave them in the closet.
Mom spaghetti's in the back corner with his tennis shoes.
Brandon Hannah said, don't even talk sports today. This is awesome. Plus, you guys are number one, so make a statement. Damn right.
We make one every day.
Voted number one show on ESPN.
That sounds so official.
That voiceover guy, I like the way he really sits
God,
on
he sounds,
ESPN.
He sounds so handsome. We're number one in the full body hugger community.
I wish that guy had a beard.
I don't know. I don't think that would make him as handsome. That's just a hunch, though.
I don't know. Might be holy.
Yeah. So, by the way, somebody saw the picture and was like, damn, Joel, you nailed it on Dr. the description Dre, of the circle.
That. Yeah.
On the circle in the beard. You guys are big in the trash can community. All right. You can go to hell. Big in the UPS delivery community. Number one show in the day drinking community. The Steelers fan one. The landscaping community. I like that. I'm a delivery driver. I was stocking a Mexican food restaurant while listening to y'all. Y'all aren't big in the Mexican food restaurant community. But Nick is. All the Latinas knew about it.
I love that one. That's fantastic.
Truck driver Joe checking in. No pun intended. That's what I'm talking about. You guys are big in the massage parlor community. That's Nick.
Why am I being singled out for all that crap?
Because single. We're married and we don't have to go to the massage parlor.
Oh, you guys are married, so you guys don't do that.
All the sex. We're having all the sex.
All the time.
Yes. Like, yeah, that's what married guys do.
Yeah.
Hey, this is Quentin. You guys are huge in the pedicure salon.
What? I was just going to say Quentin.
He sent a picture and I'm not opening it. I refuse Quentin because it's probably.
It's like Shaq's toe.
It's probably
toe or
something. 10 of the ugliest toes you've ever seen in your life. And I'm just not. I'm not ready for that. I'm not. I had a decent lunch and I'm not looking forward to
that. Yeah, you did, by the way.
Okay.
Yeah, you did. And it stunk, but it smelled good, but it was just a big smell.
You guys are big in the poll taking community. Okay.
At least we don't have Insta polls.
All right.
We leave that to others.
You're small in the penis community. No pun intended. He didn't add that, but I just had to because that's.
Guess we won't be having private meetings and dropping the robe anytime soon.
Sometimes you guys can be so mean. Cavs win 10 straight.
Yep.
Did you watch any of it?
I did not.
I didn't care.
I don't either. It's a regular season. But you know what? They're finally doing what they're supposed to be doing. The difference is that one team isn't. I mean, the Cavs are, the Oklahoma City are not. And it's like a huge deal. And everyone is, you know, having two things to talk about. Well, the Cavs, we knew all along, were going to be fine.
Yep.
Remember how everybody was saying, well, if the playoffs start today, they're not going to be in. Well, guess what? They don't start today.
But I didn't care.
Be okay.
I didn't care because it was the Hawks who have won a total of 4 games this year. So I'm not like clamoring to watch a team that we know is going to be good and be there at the end, beat up on a team that we know might have probably is going to have a lottery pick in the Hawks. And so it's like, this is those games where you don't really want to put a lot of extra weight on the fact that they got the streak going. I mean, they're winning some games. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
But this is one of those where it's like, I can skip this game. They're probably going to win it and keep that streak going. But beating the Heat, Sixers, stuff like that is better. Pistons,
right,
good win.
We said those are teams they're supposed to beat, and they are. On the flip side, Oklahoma City's losing to teams that they're not supposed to lose to.
Did they lose again last night?
They lost again to Orlando.
Ooh.
Okay, so they've lost to Orlando. They
That's
lost
bad.
To Sacramento. They've lost to the Pelicans. After they beat the Warriors, they had 2 straight bad losses. Now they lose last night in Orlando. And you could see, as much as Carmelo, from every single interview, after every practice, after every game when they lose, is like, no, we're just going to be angry. Oh, we're going to be okay. We're going to bounce out of this. It's going to be great. Guess what? Russell Westbrook is starting to act like it is not going to be okay. And it is
Paul
not
Paul George
going
is going to be gone if they keep playing like this.
And I've said that from the get-go to you guys. Billy Donovan's a guy that better be careful what he wishes for because he got a roster. But if they don't win and show what they can do, especially because Sam Presti knows that guys can leave at the end of the year, i.e. Paul George, Carmelo Anthony, in a year after that, these guys are not going to stay in OKC if this situation's not working out. And whether Donovan sees it or not, Presti knows, I'm going to save my ass by making sure I get another coach in here and do some things so people don't think it's me. And I'll tell you what, where it really has matriculated to is the studio show. Oklahoma City's TV analyst is Antonio Daniels. Used to play for the Spurs and a lot of teams in the NBA. Had a long career. But I give him credit because most of the teams would have their analyst try and sugarcoat this thing. Last night, he went off for the viewers of OKC, and I commend him for it. It sounded like this.
You are representing your community. You are representing your city. You are representing your organization, and it's embarrassing. It is embarrassing that teams continue to have their coming out games against the Oklahoma City Thunder. Dirk Nowitzki has been invisible all year, but then against the Oklahoma City Thunder, he looks like the Dirk Nowitzki of old. Yeah, Aaron Gordon has gotten the lab and he's worked on his game. 40 points and 13 rebounds? There comes a point where somebody on this roster has to take a hard foul. has to get a technical foul, has to get thrown out of a game, has to show some sort of emotion and some sort of passion that will trickle down the line to everyone else. You cannot continue to go out every game and just talk about doing the right things, not do the right things, and expect a different result. Yeah, that's not the way professional sports works.
I give him credit because I'm going to let you know right
now. Well, they've lost five of their last six, so you understand the rant. This is supposed to be a team that a lot of people are, man, this team could be second or third in the West.
People thought they could beat Golden State.
Which is a little silly. I don't know that anyone thought anyone could beat Golden State, but they were supposed to be up there. They weren't supposed to be ninth and winning 40% of their games, which is what they've done at this point. I'm curious, though. So what was the dude's name again?
It's Antonio Daniels.
Antonio Daniels. I'm curious if there's any backlash for him, because we were talking about it in our prep, and I'm wondering if Calvin Murphy goes off on a rant like that. Are the Rockets pissed at him? And do you think that he'll get in trouble by OKC?
Absolutely. The teams are going to be – the team – that's what I'm saying. Sam Presti, the same way that I was just saying about how he's concerned about everything like that. Those guys are hypersensitive to any and all criticism.
Uh-huh.
And in a case like this, where either they have a deal with the network, but they either make the contracts themselves or they have to approve who's on the air representing the teams doing their games, guaranteed they are going, are you kidding me right now? You know, we got 1 year left with these three guys. We got 1 year to make sure that everybody stays and we keep this thing going. We're in Oklahoma City. We're a small market. You are not going to represent our team and work for us or work in association with us and do something like that on the air.
I can see that exactly that happening. Not necessarily, I don't think the audio warrants a firing, but perhaps a sit down in the office.
Absolutely.
You plan on doing this again, bud? Let us know.
That's kind of the big thing, Nick. You're absolutely right. That's the big thing. They're going to give you a pass this time with a slap on the wrist. Do it again and see how much we mean business.
But don't you want...
Can I just tell you, I've been called in the principal's office.
Yeah, but
before.
Don't you want your analyst to analyze objectively?
Well, that... Okay.
No, so, not if you're a team owner.
Here's
how
the discussion went,
that's
right?
That's just candy the truth. Candy-ass move, though.
How about this?
If you're the team, you want them to say nothing but good things about your team.
How about this?
Period.
One night they were crap in the bed, right? We had no choice but to explain what was going on. I started getting texts and I was getting the reprimand. And I'm like, so am I supposed... What do you expect when so-and-so has missed 11 straight shots? And I was told, no, you start giving the other team's player credit for playing great defense.
Wow.
And I'm like... Just as easily as people can say, they can see it on TV. If they're listening to us, there's a way they can see it or find out about it and go, come on, man. I mean, half those were layups, you know, or something like that. You got to try and save face sometimes with your own commentary, because otherwise people are going to find out and they're going to call you
an imposter. This is why I love this station and this Gal Media.
You're absolutely right.
Because David Gal, for better or for worse, doesn't come in here and mandate what we talk about, what we can and can't say. This might be the most forgiving station when it comes to that. You can't do a lot of what we do at some of the other stations in this market. And because of that, you can't go on and openly criticize the Rockets on 790.
You can't do what we do in a lot of radio stations in other markets,
yeah,
too.
I mean, you can't criticize. I don't know that they can sit there and break down the Rockets like we do and be hypercritical of them like we do on 790 or the Astros or the Texans on 610.
I left the gym last night and I heard Lance on with Fred and AJ, and they were just talking about anything, saying anything they want about other stations, about all the teams, everything like that. And I thought that exact thing. I'm like,
we're lucky.
How lucky are we to have two stations, both on FM now too, to have all the guys that can say exactly what they feel instead of what the team feels they should say, or because they're the flagship.
Yep.
That's a huge bonus for listeners that, hey, if we're a fan of your community, be a fan of the fact that we're able to do what we do and say what we want to say, which is great.
That's right.
All right, we're at the halfway point. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back with a whole lot more. If there's something on your mind you want to get off your chest, 713-780-3776. HR&P Listener Line. Remember, it's an FEF Friday. We won't say anything goes, but we're pretty open to it. So if there's something you want to talk about, and if it's not even sportsy, bring it to us. We'll see what we can do for you. We're the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.
is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What the hell? I thought, what, are we not voted the number one?
Voted number one there. Show on ESPN.
Now we can come back. Now it's
official.
Follow
it up with the other one.
What?
You should always have voted number one show on ESPN. Yeah, boy! Oh.
where was the... damn it. So, Quentin's trying to get me to open this picture of these feet, and I'm not ready to do that. He could tell me it was worth it. I'm not ready to do it. Small roaches, by the way. We're getting clarification.
Yeah.
This is from Tony, the pest control technician. Small roaches are called German roaches, and you don't want them in the house. They like to hide in the kitchen and under sinks. The big ones, also known as American roaches, are real easy, as they will come in once in a while and die. They can't survive in circulated AC air. That's insane to me.
Really?
So your AC will kill the roaches. That's,
well, I'm screwed.
That's crazy.
Because my one AC unit is acting up. So
you're going to be infested.
I'm going to have roaches just all over by
all
Sunday.
Over the place, huh?
Jeez.
Somebody else sent that in. Joseph Trevino also sent the same information in. So just wanted to give credit where credit was due. All right, so we're caught up on text for now.
So we got Texans, Titans, Sunday, high noon. We both said we're not jazzed about it, but you got to go through it. Savage, still the quarterback. Anything you're looking at, looking for, interested in, other than even if they pull the upset, they're still not even close.
Yeah, I don't think that this is... I think it was 60-40 split on the matchup predictor on ESPN. So they give the Texans a little more opportunity for a win than even I would. I would have said they had probably like a 25% chance of winning this game. And I think a lot of that has to do with Tom Savage and the turnovers and his inability to hold onto the ball. Because it seems cliche, but it's just because it's true. You can't win games and turn the ball over. And that's what he does. It's at an alarming rate, no less.
It eliminates all the good. Like the first drive of the game, games where he was finding, throughout the game, how he found Hopkins. For everything that you can say positive about him, when you talk about the two picks and the fumble, it negates any good that he did before, during, or after.
Yeah. And neither of these teams are really that good defensively right now.
No. Well, Clowney, it really is. But
well, they're still giving up almost 26 points a game. That's not good. That's bottom three in the NFL. And Tennessee's not far behind. They're giving up 24.5. So it could be an ugly game because, I mean, even though Tennessee's offense is, I think right now, way better than what the Texans are doing, it still doesn't mean that they're good. It just means that the Tom Savage led Texans offense is that bad to me. But I worry because I was reading something on Tuesday or Wednesday, and they were talking to his quarterback coach. And he was like, yeah, you know, Tom would admit that a lot of these are mistakes. And O'Brien tried to do the whole, hey, you know what? We got to coach better. And some of those are definitely his fault, but some of those aren't. You know, some of those are, we've got to scheme better. No, you can't throw into four dudes. I don't care what scheme you run.
Wait, Bill O'Brien said that's on us?
What?
No
but
way.
But you can't, I don't care what scheme you run. It doesn't, throwing it at four, when you know, there's four guys around Hopkins, isn't going to lead to good things. I don't care what, if you could go run the run and shoot, you could run, I don't care, I mean, run the wishbone. It's not going to matter if that's the decision that he makes.
He threw it a double coverage. The two picks were blatantly on him because he had open receivers. He just chose to throw it in a spot that shouldn't be thrown.
And he's been doing that all year when he's had his opportunities. It's part of the reason he got benched to begin with. So I don't know at this point that Savage, I mean, you know, what they say, zebra doesn't change his stripes. I think this is who Savage is. The question becomes, do we really need to see any more of that? Would you guys be really upset if they just benched him in the first quarter and brought in TJ Yates? Would you be really upset?
Can I put this in the simplest terms I can for you? Because we had this discussion on another topic earlier this week.
Okay.
This is the Eli Manning situation when it's warranted. Okay? You don't do it to Eli Manning especially when you're bringing in Geno Smith. But in this case, because it isn't Eli Manning, there is no streak involved. You're not going anywhere. You're not going to the playoffs. You already know who your starting quarterback is going to be next year, but at least you can figure out what else you got if you want to keep TJ Yates around or whatever you want to do. Hell yes, you sit him down and you say, hey, it's over for this year, but this is how you start building for next year. I think you do it across the board. The only guy I probably wouldn't do it for is Clowney's got an outside shot to get some postseason accolades, all pros and, you know, Pro Bowls and other things. Let him keep going. But if you got young guys you want to figure out if they're going to be on the roster next year, now is the time.
Yeah, you can start to play some of those guys if you want to. I mean, if you look numbers-wise, Tom Savage, in his three seasons, he's got 2, 3, and 6 games played. And his the one season where he played in a couple of games, he didn't do much. He had a 51 rating. 2016, he had an 80.9 rating in the three games that he played. He had no interceptions. Also, no touchdowns. And then this year, obviously, the 4 touchdowns, the 5 interceptions, the 8 fumbles. You just can't have that. He's got a 68 rating. That's not great. The thing that I like about Yates, at least, is you know you got a guy that can run around a little bit. That's what made this offense a little more effective is when you had a guy that could move around.
And he won some games.
Tom Savage is damn near immobile.
He won some games for you. He won a playoff game for you.
His last 2015, when he was here, his rating was an 80.3. I'll take that over the 50-something that Savage is going to give you on average.
Look, you hope you don't have to go through what you're going through this year with Watson once he comes back from this thing. So you just want a guy that could be dependable backing him up in the spot duty that he might have to come in and either mop up or fill in for a game. If Yates is better than Tom Savage, then you know what you have to do.
To me, it's not even better. Is he any worse? Do we need to see Tom Savage fumble it anymore and throw any more interceptions?
Did you see the interview when they asked him about the fumbling because he leads the league?
What did he say?
That's just not like me. I've never done anything like that before. Well, it only takes once, Chief.
Well, you've done it 8 times this year. So, yeah, you kind of have done it before. It'd be different if you had 3-1 game and that's all you had.
Awful. But we'll see what happens.
I just don't see what the harm is in saying, all right, bro, go out there. But first turnover, you're out. I don't even care if you lead a scoring drive.
So you would threaten him like that?
I would. Well, maybe it'll make his ass focus because nothing else is working. How about this? How about you feel the pressure in the pocket and cover up the ball and just go down? At least give the fainting goat Matt Schaub some credit. At least he did that. Because when he was getting hammered and sacked a bajillion times, at least he would just fall down. No fumble, no harm, no foul. He'd get up and he'd run another play. But getting strip sacked and all that does nobody any good.
Okay. All right, so there you have it. All right, so Texans-Titans Sunday at noon. Also, there was a game last night we'll touch on at some point for all you 409ers that have the star in your back window. We'll talk about the Cowboys who finally got a big victory over the Redskins and got back on the winning side of things. Dak threw for a whopping 102 yards, but he did throw 2 touchdowns. So we'll cover that. We've got other things to get to as well. Rockets are on the road for 3 on the West Coast. If you want to talk Rockets or NBA, give us a shout on that as well. 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. Call, text, tweet. We're here for you. Usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back on The Usual Suspects. A little more than an hour to go in the big show. If you want to join in, we'd love to have you. As always, just give us a call, give us a text, give us a tweet, because it is an FEF Friday. It means football, fun, funny, in terms of our comedian of the day, which is Juan Villarreal. We've had some excerpts with him, some more coming up, so you'll like that. And lots of other things. So if you want to join the show, please. Lines are open, and again, anything goes. It doesn't have to be sports-related. You've heard the show today so far. We've had a lot of fun, and it hasn't been sportsy at all. It's been back and forth, so that's the way we like to do it.
Y'all show's electrifying in the electrician community, pun intended. Another picture attached that I'm not opening. You guys don't understand. I'm not opening your pictures. I'm not doing that. I don't trust you guys enough. It's the same thing with links. Okay, here's something cool. That last segment about being able to speak your mind on this station just earned you a new listener. Been searching for a station to listen to as a new Houston transplant from Austin. Oh, yeah. And Plucker's wings are the best, hands down. So
welcome,
there you go.
Welcome to the show, my friend.
Welcome aboard. You guys are big in the Lisa and Norma community. Well, who the hell is Norma? Norma?
Nora, maybe. But well, Norma's welcome aboard, too, but not like Nora and Lisa.
She gets so mad because she gets that the time. We'll be at, like, the doctor's office. I'll be like, Norma? She's like, well, I'm not going up there just because their dumbasses don't know my name. I'm not going up there as Norma. I'm not going to do it. That would make me mad, though. That would piss me off pretty much. The breaking news of the day, and I think it's like double, triple official now because at 2:25 ESPN just posted again, Jimbo Fisher leaving FSU to become the head coach at Texas A&M. He gets a 10-year, $75 million fully guaranteed contract. That's the part I don't like. They just went through this with Kevin Sumlin. 10 years is a long time.
God forbid, but if he Mac Browns it, you know, in one of those last years and he's still got 4 or 5 left.
Is he, you see, when you do something like this, because this will now make him the second highest paid college football coach in the nation behind Nick Saban. Sumlin was getting half of this, by the way. He got 35 and a half over 6 years. So this 10-year, $7.5 million bumps Dabo Sweeney down to third in the nation now in highest paid coaches. But what I don't like about this is that you're basically betting that Jimbo Fisher is on par with Nick Saban and a guy like Dabo Sweeney, who's doing a hell of a job at Clemson. So you can't miss on this. And I just don't know if I have faith in the Aggies to not miss.
Okay, and you've always been that kind of doubting Thomas.
I know. I'm excited about this. Don't get me wrong. I'm excited, but at the same time, I'm cautiously optimistic because look how excited everyone was for Kevin Sumlin. And then once Johnny Manziel left, it was a completely different team and program, and it was never the same after that.
Now,
how much of that was the fact that Manziel may have ruined the culture there? I don't know, but it was all downhill after that. So I'm cautiously optimistic.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. A couple things on that. One, Dabo's still making more annually at 8.5 to 7.5, and then Saban. But still, like you said, the total package is huge. The years, I can see your point of it being troubling because, again, you don't expect. But like you said, when you hired Kevin Sumlin, you didn't expect that he was going to fail or not reach the expectations. Obviously not a national championship, but at least to get to that upper echelon and keep them there every single year in the SEC and in the national polls and rankings. But the other thing, too, when you look at Sumlin, from the standpoint of he did what he was supposed to do from a recruiting standpoint, he just couldn't execute it on the field. And that's another reason why, have you not learned your lesson to say, okay, how about 5 years? How about a shorter deal? The money stays guaranteed if you want, because you got to give him 3 or 4 years to get his own players in and start recruiting. But like we said, the cupboards aren't exactly bare if he can just keep what's already committed to coming in.
Yeah.
And then see how it goes. 10 years is a mighty long time.
I would do, it would have been ideal to go 5-6 years. If you could have gone 6 years, $8 million per, giving $48 million over six.
You even go up to 8 on him.
I would have gone more money in less time because you want to. You've got to make sure you get it right. And then you say, you know what? At the end of the 6 years and the $8 million and the $48 million, if you've instilled a culture of winning at A&M and you're constantly winning 9-10 games. Because the thing that that the A&M athletic director said was, they said, well, what are your expectations of Fisher? He said, oh, not much, just a national championship.
Yeah.
Joking, tongue in cheek.
Kind of chuckle, yeah.
But he said, we feel like at A&M, our expectations are that we win we be competitive or in the hunt or win an SEC title and the occasional national title, which is a complete 180 from what I think the expectations at this university has been for a really long time. So it's good that they're getting their mind right, that they're getting their because it used to be, as long as they've got a good bowl game and they beat Texas, that's really all Aggie was happy about. That's the Aggies were like, well, we beat Texas. We made it to the Cotton Bowl. Good for us.
Now, I mentioned the recruiting.
So the expectations are changing, so that's good. But I worry that execution has never been there for this university. So maybe the execution hasn't caught up to the expectations yet is my only concern.
Yeah, and you're not in a Tennessee situation from an athletic director's standpoint for making the contract 10 years. But at the same point, have you not learned your lesson from what you did when you gave Sumlin, what, 6 years, and he's still got a couple left, where you got to pay that out to where you don't want to keep paying for dead contracts? But at the same time, before Sumlin, when RC, was it R.C. Slocum and then right to Sumlin?
No, it wasn't. It was R.C. Oh, Slocum. It was
the old Packer coach. Mike,
I don't know. There was one in between him too. There was Dennis Franchione and oh damn it,
the ex-Packer coach,
yeah,
coached for they got him, the Texans.
He was asleep at the combine.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mike Sherman. There
Mike Sherman. There it is. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So okay. So there were a couple in between. So that kind of makes my point. Look, from an A&M standpoint, when you saw the recruiting classes someone was bringing in, you're like, this is what we got this guy for. Top five recruiting classes, getting the top players in the state. Overtaking UT as being the place to go and the place to be for recruits that are they're going to start looking at A&M first and or considering them neck and neck with UT. All those things were fine and dandy, but the fact of the matter is the product on the field never got better than what it was. And we said his best year was 11-2, wasn't it, with Manziel?
Yep.
So he never got over the hump. And it took, what, 4 or 5 years? And so someone's got 2 years left. He's going to collect a check and get over $10 million from them. You don't want to do that again. Granted, I know you have boosters that have a lot of money. We saw the guy in River Oaks that called for Sumlin's butt to be fired, you know, a couple games in to the start of the season. So we know that the money's there. But you don't want to keep throwing it away because you don't want a reputation like Tennessee of not knowing what you're doing and doing these kind of things, which puts egg on your face for a longer period of time.
Yeah, and I don't know that his recruiting, because I'll be honest with you, and I may be in the minority on this. I just don't feel like this is an Aggie team with a lot of talent.
Really?
And I don't.
Now, you think about all the guys that left, too.
Okay, but that's also on Kevin Sumlin.
I'm saying Sumlin brought in a lot. Leaving, yes, it is, but the recruiting classes themselves.
But I'm saying this year, the product on the field, the 22 that he runs out there, I think is the least talented he's had since he's been here. So, yeah, have guys come and gone? Sure. But the mark of you look at Alabama, you look at Clemson, you look at Auburn, you look at LSU, they're constantly replacing superstars with new superstars, and you don't see that this year. And that may have just as much to do with Kevin Sumlin losing his job as anything else, as you had quarterbacks that were highly recruited that have left.
You got one taking on Oklahoma in the Big 12 championship
Kenny
game.
Trill. And so you see that, and you wonder what changed with A&M. And you also, I just don't know that he recruited as well. And I don't subscribe to the recruiting, like the our lads or whatever all the other recruiting stuff is.
There's Vibe and there's all.
Because I tell you, you talk to some people and they'll tell you that that's all just BS. A lot of that, in fact, friends of mine that I know that are involved in it will tell you that a lot of times they're just hyping up their buddies or their friends or whoever pays them the most or whoever. It's not a legit system. So,
well, you got a lot of guys that do these highlight tapes now for the kids.
A lot of these guys don't even watch it. They just like, hey, who's a hot, you know, commodity, and that's it. So I don't put a lot of stock into that.
That's how they vote for local award shows.
I'd rather just look at the product on the field, and the A&M product on the field is the least appealing of all the ones that have been here since Kevin Sumlin came on board. So I think he had a down year or has had a down year in recruiting.
He might have, but overall, when you're top five in it, top 10 in it in recruiting classes, and then you look at just two of the guys that we mentioned coming out of this area that are going to be all-world recruits that were already committed to going to A&M, I can't discredit his recruiting. I just obviously see that there's issues, one, keeping him there, and two, translating it to how it relates to winning games on the field.
Okay. Because I'm thinking you couldn't name me name two. If I took away Starkle, if I took away the quarterback, Starkle and Kellen Mond, and I took away Armani Watts, could you name one Aggie?
Yeah, Christian Kirk.
Okay. Could you name two?
Yeah.
No, you couldn't.
You're not going to let me name the kid from...
You said the kid from. You didn't say his name.
No, the freshman from Florida, from the...
The guy.
The academy. I'm thinking of his name right now.
The one guy with the face mask and the cleats.
I watch them every week.
The one guy that wears the white towel and the whoop and the giggle. That guy. See? That's my point, though. You could have named Christian Kirk. You could have named Evans. You could have named.
You're talking about guys that used to play there.
No, I'm saying,
I thought you meant on the field this year.
I am. That's what I mean. Last year you could have named three or four,
and obviously right up and down.
Last year you could have named three or four guys on that Aggie team, including Kirk. So yeah, it's a lot different now. Unless you're a hardcore Aggie fan, but that speaks to the talent because you could name four or five guys from other schools that are talented.
I'm just saying, I'm not going to name them by name. I don't know if they're NFL talent or not. I just see how they rank in terms of.
I don't even think Christian Kirk will be a good NFL talent, to be honest with you.
Really?
I don't. Okay. Too small.
All right.
But I also didn't think Johnny Manziel would be.
That guy was a hell of a defensive back. All right, so we got two in the books, one to go, 1 hour left of the big show. If you want to join us, please do. It's an FEF Friday, so anything goes. 713-780-3776, HRNP Listener Line, or hit us up on Twitter. Back with the final hour. It is the Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
Voted number one show on ESPN.
Looking for something to do this weekend? Visit culturemap.com to find out everything going on in the city.